Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ruth, to Ruth in chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. This morning we continue our sermon series in the book of Ruth, a delightful portion of God's holy word. And we'll begin our reading in verse 17 of Ruth chapter 2. And we'll read to chapter 3 and verse 9 as we begin to see that the Lord provides rest in a Redeemer. We've learned many things already from our teaching in the book of Ruth, how the Lord often empties first in order to fill, how the Lord turns the hearts of unlikely ones to find refuge in Him, how the Lord exposes even our bitterness and selfishness and forgetfulness, and how the Lord never, never forsakes His people. And so give your attention to the reading of God's holy word, Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse 17. This is the word of God. So she, that is Ruth, gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Having heard the word of God, what is your response? Amen. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we come to Ruth chapter 3, and what a story it is. And yet, today we must not miss the fact that the Lord is the central character in this story. We must never miss that, even as we read the scriptures and as we hear the word of God. It is true there are other people scurrying about with much activity, Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, but the Lord is the one who is on center stage. And what is it that we learn as we dip into chapter 3 of the book of Ruth? Well, we learn that the Lord unveils his provision for rest and refuge. The Lord unveils his provision for rest and a refuge. And it is today that we want to see how the provision of the Lord is recognized by no one less than Naomi. Naomi, who considered herself empty. Naomi, who wanted her name changed to bitterness instead of pleasantness. And so today we want to see how his provision for rest and refuge, the Lord's provision for rest and refuge, is recognized. First of all, we want to look at the pathway to recognition. Then we want to see the eyes that behold and recognize the Lord's provision. And then we want to see the principles for you and me to apply. So the Lord unveils his provision for rest and refuge today, and he puts on display how this is recognized by Naomi. First of all, the pathway to recognition. A bit of review perhaps is in order as we think about where we are in the book of Ruth. Naomi and Ruth return back to the promised land. They return back to Bethlehem, the house of bread. They return back empty, bereaved of husbands, without sustenance and without protection. They have no man to care for them in a world which is patriarchal. No man to care for them. They are at the bottom of their barrel. And so Ruth asks her mother-in-law if she can go out and glean, that they may have something to eat and not starve to death. And Naomi, in her bitterness, allows Ruth to go out, and Ruth, just by chance, happens to find herself gleaning in the field of Boaz. And Bethlehem, the house of bread, is being restocked, as it is now the barley harvest. The Lord has been working. He had not only chastened his people, but now he is restoring bounty unto them as the harvest is coming in. The Lord is restocking the pantry, so to speak. And Ruth experiences Boaz's kindness. She experiences his generosity and his blessing. You may remember as he finds her in his field in chapter 2 and verse 12, Boaz proclaimed, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Now, what a blessing is pronounced upon this foreigner, upon Ruth, as she is brought under the wings of the Almighty for refuge. And it's not just a blessing which is pronounced, it is a prayer, which indeed Boaz prays for her. May the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel. And so Ruth, then, after finishing her gleaning, she returns home with an overflowing abundance and proof of Boaz's strength. After all, the name Boaz means strength. And if anyone is in need of strength, is it not Ruth and Naomi, who are weak, even weakness itself? She returns back having received a full ephah of grain. Even as we looked at that last week, we wondered, well, should I be excited about an ephah of grain? What is an ephah of grain? Well, it's as much as 50 pounds of threshed grain, a tremendous amount, as she goes back to her mother-in-law. And as indeed Ruth finds refuge under the wings of the Lord God of Israel, the one true and living God, we learned last week that the Lord does not forsake his people. He doesn't forsake any who come underneath of his wings for refuge. He has not forsaken Ruth, and he has not forsaken Naomi. And so this is the pathway to recognition. The pathway to recognition, though you and I may be tempted at times to think that the Lord has forgotten about us. The Lord isn't for us, but he's against us. That the hand of the Lord has gone out against me, and I do not know where I can flee from his presence. And yet we learn that the Lord doesn't forsake his people. The Lord is good to all who call upon him in truth. And so the Lord is unveiling his provision for rest and refuge, but not just for Ruth, the announcement which Boaz made in chapter 2 and verse 12, also for Naomi. And this leads then to not only seeing the pathway to recognizing God's provision, but the eyes that recognize God's provision for rest and refuge. Verse 20 of chapter 2, then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, that is Boaz. Blessed be Boaz of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness, his loving kindness, his mercy, his chesed to the living and the dead. The scales begin to fall from Naomi's eyes. She begins to see that the Lord is not against her. That though she has suffered, and she has suffered, she has experienced loss which has seemed unbearable, yet the Lord has not forsaken her. He has shown kindness and mercy. And so as Ruth reports everything to Naomi, the wheels begin to turn in Naomi's mind and in her heart as her eyes begin to see the truth that the Lord is the one who provides rest and refuge for his people. It's in the end of verse 20 of chapter 2 that then Naomi goes on and says this man, Boaz, is a relation to ours, one of our redeemers. That's what it says literally in the Hebrew text. Not just a close relative, but one of our redeemers. We have something to see here. God is at work. Now, Ruth shares with her mother-in-law that Boaz had in fact said, don't glean anywhere else. And Naomi says, that's right. Don't go anywhere else. Stay in his field. This man of strength, this man who indeed exemplifies the character of God in showing kindness, mercy, love, and chesed. Stay there, my daughter, and glean there. Now, what's interesting, we come then to verse 23, and we read that Ruth obeys her mother-in-law. What do we read in verse 23? So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. And so even as Naomi's eyes begin to be opened to see the Lord's provision, it doesn't mean that there's going to be an immediate solution. How do we know that? Well, it was at the beginning of barley harvest that Ruth began to glean. And now 7 weeks will go by. 7 long weeks of barley harvest and wheat harvest as there is a waiting upon the Lord. Could it be that the Lord will provide through this relative, this relation of ours? Could it be that the Lord will indeed provide a redeemer for us in our poverty and in our emptiness? 7 weeks of waiting go by, and Naomi is, as it were, adding the details up in her mind and in her heart. After all, she was one who was raised in the covenant community. She is one who indeed heard the word of the Lord. She is one who knows what God has said. And there then are two ideas which come forth as we come into chapter 3. And the two ideas are, first of all, the idea of a redeemer and the idea of a close relative who will marry the widow of one whom he is related to. That is, related to her dead husband. And in Hebrew, these two words are important. So the one, first of all, is the redeemer, the goel. Naomi, as she begins to piece things together, as the scales drop from her eyes, she begins to see that God is the one who has provided something for me, for us, in our emptiness, in our bereavement, in our nothingness, that there is a goel, a redeemer. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, the Redeemer the Goel, was the protector of the family, who had a duty in certain circumstances to act as a redeemer when the family was in need. And who is in more need than Naomi and Ruth at this point? In Leviticus chapter 25, we learn that the Goel, the Redeemer, is to act to prevent property being lost to the family. And here, Naomi, as it were, being reminded of the word of God and of his provision, that Elimelech had owned land in Bethlehem, and that that land, as it were, was slipping through the fingers, and there was no way to hold on to it, and yet there's a Redeemer who can protect the land from being taken away from the land or from the family. Also in Leviticus chapter 25, the Goel, the Redeemer, acts to set free a member of his family who had been forced to sell himself or herself into slavery because of financial hardship. And if we read the story of Ruth carefully, we recognize that both Naomi and Ruth have looming on the horizon for them just this prospect. They have nothing. And when the harvest is over, they will have eaten through whatever Ruth was able to glean, and they will have no prospect except to sell themselves into slavery. Ah, but God had provided a redeemer to buy them out of slavery, a family member who was in this condition. And here is Naomi, a child of the covenant, but one indeed who was in possession of the promises of the Lord, who had wondered, had the Lord turned his back on her? And she is now beginning to see that by chance, Ruth ends up in the field of Boaz, one of strength, who exemplifies the very character of God in kindness and mercy and love, and that he is one of the redeemers. He's not the closest one, that is, the closest relative who would be responsible for being the one to buy out of slavery or to preserve the land in the family, but he is one. But there's another institution which God had provided for as well. We know of it as leveret marriage. Now, the word lever, L-E-V-I-R, is just the Latin word for brother-in-law. And God, in his law, had said that if a man dies and leaves a widow, then his brother, who wasn't married, had the responsibility to marry the widow of his brother and to raise up a seed, a child, so that the man's name would not be blotted out of the land of the living, and that his inheritance would be secure in the land, which was but a type and a foreshadowing of the greater promise of the new heavens and the new earth. And it's here that these two things, the Redeemer, the Goel, and the leveret marriage, kind of come into play in the book of Ruth. Now, these are things which perhaps we are not that familiar with, but here is a provision of God caring for his people in times of desperateness. A provision even in God's law. And this provision as a demonstration of kindness, love, mercy, compassion, and pity. And while Boaz isn't the brother of Elimelech who has died, and isn't the brother of Mahlon who has died, yet his heart, because of the work of God's grace, his heart is potentially open to exercising just these things. Just these things. Though Boaz doesn't meet all the conditions, he, demonstrating the character of the Lord himself, meets the general intention of the law. And Naomi's eyes begin to see. Could it be that the Lord has actually provided for me and for Ruth? Could it be that though there is no brother-in-law technically to do this, and though the relative Boaz is more than once removed from responsibility, could it be that as God in his providence and in his guiding has led Ruth into the field of Boaz, that there is hope not just for being prevented from going into slavery, not just of the land, as it were, being preserved in the family, but that there's hope for one who will inherit the land, an heir, that would come even through levirate marriage. And so, as I said, these things seem strange to us, but it's a provision of grace that God has put into his law to ultimately point us to the one who is the greater Redeemer and the greater Bridegroom, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must not miss that here at all, that even as eyes are open to recognize God's provision for rest and refuge, there is something for us to learn in a very real way. Think about it. Naomi, maybe from youth, had heard about these institutions of the Goel, the Redeemer, and of the lever, the leveret marriage. And she had thought, oh, this is a technical, theological jargon which the men argue about. But now, what is happening? The very provision which God had placed into the law, which seems so strange, which seemed to have not any application to her, suddenly now it becomes enfleshed, incarnate right before her. And it's in the story then of God's revelation in the book of Ruth that we see God's provision be enfleshed and incarnate in preparation for the greater Redeemer, the greater Bridegroom, the greater Husband who will come. Oh, why don't we still practice Redeemers and levers in the New Testament era? Ah, because the Redeemer's come. And the Bridegroom has indeed engaged us to himself. For Christ is the groom, and we are his bride, bought with a price out of slavery and bondage, and we are ones who find our rest and refuge in him. And it's here that Naomi's eyes are opened to see. There's not just a pathway to recognition by God's providential hand. There is now, as it were, a recognition with the eye of faith. God is at work through his institutions, through his means, through the very means which he has provided in his word to actually meet my needs, to meet my needs. So a plan begins to take shape in Naomi's mind, doesn't it? First, the instruction to Ruth, don't go anywhere else. Stay in Boaz's field. But then we come into chapter 3 and we have instructions given to her 7 weeks later. And it's interesting. Remember, barley harvest was at Passover, and 7 weeks later is Pentecost. First fruits. Not only then is Ruth the first fruits of being brought in, but Naomi is beginning to experience the harvest. Not just the harvest of barley and wheat, but a harvest of souls that find refuge, that find rest in the Redeemer who is provided by none other than the God of Israel. And so a plan begins to take shape. It's in verse 1 that Naomi says, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you? It's an unfortunate translation in the New King James. And if you look in the margin, you'll see what the word literally is. Shall I not seek rest for you, my daughter? Rest in God's provision. And it's not just for Ruth, as if Naomi is altruistic, only thinking about Ruth's provision, because verse 2 says, now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? There is provision enough, not just for Ruth, but for Naomi too. Provision enough for all who find refuge underneath of the wings of the Almighty. And so the Lord, who had put at center stage Boaz, now, as he opens the eyes of Naomi, Naomi comes up with a plan. Wash, anoint, dress, go, hide, uncover, wait, propose. And this is the plan. The plan based upon God's provision. You've said it, Lord. Now we will trust you and we will pursue it. You've said you will provide and we will pursue it according to the way in which you have set it forth. And so the very means of grace, provision, rest, refuge, are embraced by Naomi and by Ruth. Now you can read in some of the commentators that there's a bunch of ink spilled about it. Is this some sort of sexually illicit scene in Ruth chapter 3? Is Ruth acting almost like a prostitute as far as what happens at the threshing floor? And the context is obvious. The answer is clear. No, not at all. What is found here is the character which is crafted by God's grace, faithfulness, loving kindness, goodness, and mercy. And so as then the very means which God has provided to his Old Testament people, to Naomi and to Ruth, as they are embraced and engaged, and as this plan is put into effect, it's done so, I believe, in faith. In faith. How does God provide rest and refuge for those who are empty? Well, here's how. And his word tells us how. And so, instead of moving the story forward today, we're going to need to put a to be continued next week at the end of this sermon. But before we get to that to be continued next week, what can we learn? Well, the great truth is that God provides rest and refuge. He provided rest and refuge in the book of Ruth, through his institution, which was indeed appointed by his word. Well, what about you and me? Where do we find rest and refuge today? What does God's word say now that Jesus Christ, the great Redeemer, Goel, has come? What does God's word say to you about where you find rest and refuge now that the bridegroom has come and laid down his life for his bride? Well, the Lord tells you and me to find our rest, security, and refuge in Christ. In Christ, God's provision, promised in his word, provided to us. And how do we embrace that provision? Well, in the same way that Naomi and Ruth did. By embracing God's provision via his means, via the means of grace. The means of grace in the old covenant, as it was here, putting forth these great truths in shadowy form, was through the institution of the goel and the institution of the lever. But now it's in Christ. He's come. And the means whereby we embrace him is through the word, through the sacraments, and through prayer. We find rest and refuge in our Lord Jesus Christ, the means and mechanism whereby you find rest and refuge is in him through his word, the sacraments, and a prayer. Oh, yes. But we must never forget that Christ is to be enjoyed in the midst of his body. in the midst of his people. Even as Naomi and Ruth come back, they enjoy God's provision in the midst of community. And is it not so still that this is what we find when we find our rest and refuge in Christ? It's in Christ in the midst of his body. In the midst of his body, God's ordained means whereby we enjoy rest and refuge even here today. Now we are so tempted with our American Western mindset, our individualism, that we find it hard to actually enjoy rest and refuge in the context of community. But this is so clearly taught to us in Scripture, that we are to be a people, as Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, that bears one another's burdens. We are to be a people like Jesus spoke to us last week in Matthew chapter, in Mark chapter 10, that whosoever forsakes brother or sister, father or mother, lands or whatever for my sake will find 100-fold more now. Where? In the church, in the body. Your earthly father or mother forsakes you. Your earthly brother forsakes you. Your earthly sister forsakes you. You find new fathers and mothers, new brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, wherein you enjoy together God's provision of rest and refuge. Oh, this is what we learn, for example, in Acts chapter 2, as the early church had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. This isn't speaking about socialism or communism. It's talking about as needs arise, there are resources for caring for one another, supporting one another, and enjoying together God's provision of rest and refuge through the Redeemer who is our bridegroom. It's the same thing that we learn in Acts chapter 11 as the churches of Asia Minor sent relief to the churches in Judea. And this wasn't like just going down to Nashua. This was a significant commitment to care for brothers and sisters who had been forsaken by their families, ostracized from their communities, all because they took up their cross to follow Jesus. And they encouraged one another, and they together enjoyed God's promised rest and provision. This is why Galatians 6 and verse 10 says that we are to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. And we can't let our American individualism restrain us from indeed embracing Christ in the midst of his body and finding true rest, refuge, and security. Now, maybe you've been burned by the church before. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you were vulnerable, and instead of being cared for, you were crushed. My heart goes out to you. But your experience of your sinful human beings in the midst of a hospital of sinners, I plead with you, don't let that define for you what the truth is. No, God provides rest and refuge for you in Christ, enjoyed in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is God's ordained means whereby we are cared for physically and spiritually. Yes, spiritually too. That we bear one another's not only physical burdens, but also spiritual burdens. That we indeed pursue righteousness and faith and godliness with those who call upon the name of the Lord in truth. That we are a people who daily exhort one another. And that we do not forsake the assembling together of ourselves. Why? So that we would encourage one another to find our rest and refuge in Christ. And so here, there's a pathway whereby this is recognized in no one less than Naomi's life, who was struggling with bitterness and emptiness. And God begins to lift the veil for her to see there's provision that God gives. And you and I must see it fulfilled in Christ and enjoyed in the body of Christ even today. Yes, quite a story that we have before us. A story rooted in history. A story rooted in history in which God reveals that He provides rest and refuge for all who come under the wings of the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, receiving and resting upon Christ alone. Oh, that's where this story is pointing, and that's where its fulfillment is. And I call upon you today to see with the eye of faith what is true. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we do thank you for your mercies, which are new every morning. We ask that you would give us a foretaste of that final rest and refuge in the new heavens and new earth, that we would taste and see that you are good in the land of the living, that we truly, O Lord, would grow in our appreciation for our great bridegroom who has laid down his life for us. And that we, Lord, would lock arms together as the body of Christ, caring for one another, calling upon our Lord together in faith, and learning that though the world forsakes us, though even father and mother turn their back on us, though brother or sister will not speak with us, yet you have provided an everlasting family for us in your church. And we thank you and we praise you for this. And we ask that we would indeed have eyes to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is our great Redeemer and He is our great Bridegroom. We ask this in His name. Amen.